Germany's conservative Chancellor Helmut Kohl got what he wanted from early elections, voter approval of the way he runs things. And the defense planners in Washington are not at all displeased. Chief European correspondent Tom Fenton has details in Bonn.
Chancellor Kohl began discussions this morning to form a new German government with the strongest majority since 1957. Kohl's resounding victory was a German vote of confidence for his conservative economic views and his strong support for the NATO alliance. Germany now seems set for 4 years of moderate conservative government. The election results are a message to the Russians that Germany remains committed to NATO plans to accept new American missiles if the Geneva arms talks fail. Kohl's strong majority will strengthen the German government's hand to face the protests that can be expected if the missiles are actually deployed in Germany later this year. For the average German, the election was primarily about the economy rather than missiles. Business confidence in Germany's future will now be improved. Investment is expected to pick up, and the Deutschmark will be strengthened. This election could signal the beginning of the end of Germany's worst recession since World War II. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Bonn.
This is David Andelman in Moscow. A major Soviet propaganda barrage on behalf of the German left in the final weeks of the campaign appears to have backfired strongly. The Soviet press had been warning stridently of the dangers of a vote for what it termed a warmongering right, so much so that the German Foreign Ministry filed repeated diplomatic protests to the Soviet government for its interference in Germany's domestic affairs. This morning, a much chastened Soviet media was all but silent over the results in Germany and in France, where the left was also repudiated. The Soviet news agency TASS reported both contests in terse three-paragraph statements. After all, the Soviet government will have to live with Germany's conservative Chancellor Kohl for the foreseeable future. David Andelman, CBS News, Moscow.
The Kremlin's West watchers have more than Germany to be concerned about this morning. They're still poring over tallies from those French municipal elections. In Paris, Don Kladstrup has details.
The results came as a jolt to France's leftist government. Losses in at least 15 major cities. Losses by seven of President Mitterrand's cabinet ministers who were seeking city council seats. The left is shipwrecked, proclaimed the headline of one morning paper. Although these were only municipal elections, they constituted a national referendum on the performance of France's socialist communist government. The results, following a near-record voter turnout, represented a severe setback for those in power. Conservatives captured just over 51% of the popular vote, compared to 46 for the left. It was a complete reversal of the outcome in the last municipal elections and represented a sharp swing in this country to the right. People were upset with the government's economic policies and inability to reduce unemployment and inflation. Don Kladstrup, CBS News, Paris.
There is concern in French financial circles that the franc may have to be devalued again, largely due to the French trade deficit, but there will be no such move, at least until after a second round of voting there next weekend. Pope John Paul's Central American travels find him in a predominantly Catholic country that's led by a born-again Protestant president. It's a place where church and state are at odds, and we get the story from Richard Roth in Guatemala City.
It was an unusual arrival here for Pope John Paul, who only days ago had sharply criticized Guatemala's leaders, warning of repercussions for the government's decision to execute six men convicted of terrorism. Whether by accident or design, an airport loudspeaker began broadcasting the melody of a popular tune called You Don't Have to Say You Love Me. As Guatemalan President General Rios Montt greeted the Pope, there were fireworks and gun salutes that nearly drowned out the pontiff's words. Then a triumphal motorcade into town. After celebrating Mass from a dove-shaped altar on a parade ground, today the Pope travels west to Quetzaltenango to speak to Guatemalan Indians, natives who church officials say have been victimized by an often brutal government campaign of repression and violence. The Pope is expected to talk about human rights. He'll return here tonight and plans to use Guatemala as his base for a trip to Honduras before moving on to Belize and Haiti. Richard Roth, CBS News, Guatemala City.
John Paul is fresh from El Salvador, where he celebrated an open-air mass for some 500,000 people. He seemed to criticize the right-wing Salvadoran government. It is time for dialogue, he says, dialogue for peace, and no one should be left out of that effort. There, read the Salvadoran leftist rebels. There's a Washington focus on the Salvadoran civil war as well this morning.
This is John Ferrugia at the White House. This week, the president will continue to try to convince Congress and the American people to support more military aid for El Salvador, and that will take some effort. On Capitol Hill, there is concern about the president's proposal for $60 million in additional aid. Mr. Reagan contends that without that money, the Salvadoran government is in danger of losing control to leftist guerrillas. The president is also in favor of sending more U.S. advisors and trainers to El Salvador to help make the army more effective. But to many in Congress, that smacks of Vietnam. And congressional leaders are concerned that U.S. aid and weapons will only escalate the war and entangle the United States further. But the president is convinced that both advisors and money are necessary to shore up the Salvadoran government. He will press congressional leaders for support of both when he meets with them here tomorrow. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
The president's plans got a boost over the weekend when El Salvador's provisional president announced that new elections will be held by Christmas, 3 months ahead of schedule. The White House hopes that will help ease the extra aid through Congress. All 13 OPEC oil ministers are in London for a price-saving summit that almost began today. Almost, but not quite. And we get details from Doug Tinnell.
OPEC's oil ministers yielded to a request from Iran to postpone today's meeting in London for about another 18 hours. The decision made way for further pre-summit consultations over the price of OPEC crude and the production levels of its 13 member states. Venezuelan oil minister Humberto Calderon Berti told reporters of the postponement. Earlier, Iran's oil minister Mohammad Garazi said his country would never slash the price of Iranian oil in line with proposed cuts in OPEC's marker price of $34 a barrel. Iran will never come down, Garazi told reporters. He called for Saudi Arabia to cut back its oil production from about 4 million barrels of oil a day to 3 million. Garazi said that was enough for the Saudis. The hawkish stance by the Iranian minister follows a weekend of private talks and optimistic reports here about OPEC's efforts to agree on price and production levels. But those talks have gone on in the absence of a representative from Iran. Ministers of all 13 members of OPEC are now scheduled to begin their meeting here tomorrow. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, London.
Newsbreak. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News, sitting in today for Charles Osgood. President Reagan is still lobbying hard for his controversial plan to provide $60 million more dollars and a handful of additional U.S. military advisors for El Salvador. For the president's former Secretary of State, the time seems right, therefore, for a round of I told you so's. Alexander Haig on the Cuban connection, right after this.
If you're still pushing around an old, worn-out vacuum cleaner, you're doing a lot of extra work. Hi, Pat Summerall to say you'll save time and energy with True Value Hardware Store's exclusive Hoover Model U3311 Concept 1, a self-propelled upright vacuum. Or if you prefer a canister, check out their exclusive Hoover Model S3233 Celebrity 4. These cleaners and other Hoover products are value-priced during Hoover Month at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. Say that Pat Summerall sent you.
When you rent a car, why settle for a toy?
Here's your teddy bear.
And a toy car.
And the keys to your compact.
When Budget will rent you a luxurious Lincoln for less money.
A Lincoln instead of a toy?
Budget has an offer no trinkets can match. Through June 30th, rent a roomy Lincoln for only $39.95 a day with advance reservations at Budget. That's less than Hertz and Avis charge for a compact car at most locations. Details at participating Budget locations. You get more than just a car at Budget.
Toys are for kids. I'll take the Lincoln.
Former Secretary of State Alexander Haig has never been noted for holding his tongue when it comes to speaking his mind. On the CBS Morning News today, Haig aired his views on the continuing concern about expansion of the American military role in El Salvador's civil war.
It seems to me we have to deal with this head on and not delude ourselves. And when people talk about a repetition of Vietnam, I think I would be concerned from that point of view, incrementalism. To face up to the realities of the situation rather than the current model of the Vietnam syndrome.
Haig reminds that he first talked about the relationship between the Salvadoran struggle and the Cuban influence thereon months ago.
I think much to the dismay of many of the observers in the press, I noted that the Salvadorian question was one that involved internal problems, that is, the quest for social justice within El Salvador. It involved the regional intervention of Cuba into hemispheric affairs, and it involved in important aspects, East-West relations, the U.S.-Soviet problem. And it would have to be dealt with in all of these forums. We haven't done that, and I regret that.
And how would the former secretary deal with the Cuban threat?
It never serves a useful purpose to lay out this particular formula, but we have political, psychological, economic, and security assets at our behalf. After all, we're talking about a nation of some 12 million people 100 miles off our shore that has become an international outlaw, that has recently increased its presence in Angola, and is maintaining a pervasive influence and disruptive influence in Central America.
When it comes to the Reagan request for more money and advisors for El Salvador, Haig agrees with his former boss.
I do think that the requests being made today by the administration are essential to enable the people of Salvador and the government of Salvador to realize self-determination under a democratic process rather than by shooting your way into power, so to speak.
Alexander Haig, and now this.
Quinn Mallory knows what she wants.
Right. New York City. A real career. Excitement. So who do I fall totally in love with? Will Ingram. The guy wants a quiet life in Idaho. Oh, way to go, Quinn.
Quinn, the funny romantic novel about two people with such different goals, their love has to be crazy or perfect. A new kind of love story from the best-selling author of Change of Heart, Quinn, now a Dell paperback.
News break, Monday, March 7th, 1983. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Richard C. Hautelet. More than 90 governments and organizations like the PLO, which call themselves non-aligned, opened a summit conference today in New Delhi. Cuba's president, Fidel Castro, is stepping down after a three-year term as head of the organization, and he told the opening session that President Reagan has ordered the CIA to kill him. He gave no details of the alleged plot, but he asked what else could be expected of such an unscrupulous character, unquote. He said Mr. Reagan had increased the danger of war by seeking U.S. military supremacy, and he urged the non-aligned to promote a pledge by the U.S. and the Soviet Union not to be the first to use nuclear weapons. The Soviets have been urging that for nearly a year. Four terrorists with submachine guns waylaid an American oil man in Bogota, Colombia this morning, killed his two bodyguards, and took him away. Kenneth Bishop of Denver, Colorado, was driving to work when the ambush occurred. He is a geologist for Texas Petroleum, a subsidiary of Texaco. No organization has as yet taken responsibility or made any demands. 4 years ago, Texas Petroleum's general manager in Colombia was kidnapped and then killed when police burst into what leftist guerrillas called a people's jail. Now this.
For nearly 75 years, we've been leaving our mark on America, the General Motors mark of excellence. But it's not enough to be proud of past achievements. It's particularly American to ask, what have you done for me lately?
Q-stable at 300, drag coefficient 0.309.
Technology such as aerodynamic research has helped us improve our average mileage 100% since 1974.
Computer hookups are reading. Stand clear for crash test. Vehicle up to test speed.
GM has conducted the most extensive safety-related research in the entire automotive industry. And we're using the latest techniques in computer-aided design, lasers, and robotics to build cars and trucks that carry on the tradition of GM excellence. Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, Cadillac, GMC truck. Right now, today, we're the best GM ever.
Crow is on the menu in the Kremlin today. The Soviet Union had done its best to help West Germany's Social Democrats in yesterday's parliamentary election. But the election went the other way. The Christian Democrats made their best showing in more than 25 years, and together with their more conservative Free Democratic Coalition partners, they will govern West Germany for the next 4 years. The Social Democrats got their smallest vote since 1961. David Andelman reports from Moscow that the Soviets are making the best of what is, for them, bad news.
Clearly stung by the overwhelming rejection of its pleas to the West German people to oust the right-wing government of Chancellor Helmut Kohl, the Soviet Union struck back today, gingerly. In two relatively mild commentaries carried by the state news agencies TASS and Novosti, the Soviets observed that a deployment of American Pershing and cruise missiles on West German territory could lead to the start of a war from German soil. Chancellor Kohl said throughout the election campaign that he would support deployment of American missiles. At the same time, the Soviet commentators observed that these missiles would be out of the control of the German government and under the exclusive control of the United States. Such a qualification, a change from the strident pro-left propaganda of the past weeks, clearly springs from a realization that, distasteful as it might be, the Soviet Union will have to live for the foreseeable future with the government of Chancellor Helmut Kohl. David Andelman, CBS News, Moscow.
As much snow as some localities have ever seen in March is on the ground through parts of the Rockies and Upper Plains states. Nolan Duke of the National Weather Service says the same storm that pelted California with rain last week has dropped snow in an area centered on the Dakotas.
We've had 6 to 8 inches of snow overnight, and light snow continues over the northern Rockies, where over the weekend up to 2 feet of snow covered the Denver area. So this is continuing with very icy conditions and impassable roads across the northern plains this morning.
Stocks and other news after this.
Harold and Edna are about to enter the phone zone.
But we're a travel agency.
We need these phones.
But Mom and Dad, now you can buy brand new state-of-the-art business phones from Executone.
Bob Bell will erase our phone number.
And rip out our Yellow Pages ad.
No, now you're free to choose the best phone system. It's time to cut the cord and go with Executone.
Smart boy.
Well, back to college.
Want to go excursion or charter?
Executone, the nationwide business phone company. For more information, call 1-800-645-1111. A Contel company.
Hello, Steve Allen.
And Jane Meadows.
For your nearby Pip Instant Printer.
When you want quality instant printing in a hurry, see the professionals who print at PIP.
Steve, there's no question in my mind. Pip printers offer their customers a great printing value.
Why, Jane?
Pip printers do real ink on paper printing. They use today's most modern equipment. They print quality copies every time while you wait.
And that is why Pip is the world's largest chain of instant printers.
P.I.P., where people make the difference.
Pope John Paul continues his Central American tour today in Guatemala. Thousands stood in line overnight hoping to gain entrance to an open-air papal mass this afternoon. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is down 0.96. Volume on the big board, 38.75 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrials stand at 1140.00. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.